Today on Beyond the Walls with Jeremy Thomas, we have a small sample of the larger lesson which is coming tomorrow. These lessons are in the Framework series. They are all about taking more detailed, intricate, and complex doctrines and building upon the framework that was established in the Basic series. The intent is to greatly expand your knowledge and appreciation of the intricacy and the beauty of God's holy word.
Let's talk about the effects of sin on man's spirit. We say the human spirit is dead. Okay, what does this mean? Now, some have said that what this means is that man has no spirit or he lost his human spirit. I'm not inclined to that position. Okay, I think that all men have a human spirit, whether they're believers or not, but I think that their human spirit is separated from God. Okay, so it's serving certain functions, but it's not fully functioning. Okay, for example, one function of the human spirit is to support the human body. In fact, when the human spirit leaves the body's it's done, right? It's dead. It begins to decay. It's just going to yeah. Okay, so I think that the human spirit serves that function of supporting the human body. I just think that the spiritual aspect of the human spirit, the relationship with God aspect, is not functioning. Okay, it's malfunctioning. Okay, so let's look at how the human spirit is affected by sin. And we've already said that man has certain features or attributes, little a, that correspond to God's attributes, capital A. Okay, so man has volition. Why do we have that? Because it's a finite version of God's sovereignty. That's why. Okay. We said God or man has conscience. Why do we have that? Because God is righteous and just, and the human conscience is a finite version of that. Okay. And then, of course, man has love. Why do we have that? Well, because, again, God is love, and what we have is a finite version of that. Okay. And then the fourth one we said is that man has knowledge. Why do we have that? Well, because God is omniscient. Okay, so we have a finite version of his omniscience. Okay, so if this is how man, made in the image of God, in his spirit, what he is like, then these are the areas that are going to be affected by sin. Okay, volition, conscience, love, and knowledge. So let's just go through them. Volition. Okay. What's volition? Well, man's ability to choose for or against God. It's not that complicated. We can do that. So what sin has done is made man's volition opposed to God and to the things of God. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2:14. I think sometimes this section is misunderstood. In fact, at Dallas Seminary, all the years of Dallas Seminary, the big guys like Dwight Pentecost, when he was still around, and Toussaint and Ryrie, they all disagreed on 1 Corinthians 2. They had two basic prevailing views, and they never could get together. It's because it's a difficult chapter. But 1 Corinthians 2:14 is describing one of the four men that Paul talks about. He's got the natural man, right? He's got the spiritual man. He's got the man of flesh and the fleshly man. And I think those two men are different, okay? But that's a story for another day, okay? We just want to look at the natural man in 1 Corinthians 2:14 and show how volition has been affected by sin. It says, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Now, let's just stop right there. You see that word accept? This is a Greek word, dekamai. It means like welcome. If somebody comes to your door and you open the door and you either welcome them in or you say, no, I don't want to buy your thing. Hey, can you just leave us alone? If you say that, you're not welcoming the person. That's how the natural man is with the things of the Spirit of God. He doesn't welcome them. He's like, no. Okay? Now, it goes on and it says why? Okay, for they are foolishness to him. Okay, and then it says, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. It's that cannot understand that I think is the area where this verse gets distorted. Okay, because it gives people the impression that when you tell him, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, people are just going, what? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't think the natural man is like that. I think he understands this is a sentence. You've got a subject, you've got a verb, and you've got a predicate. I think he understands the nuts and bolts of the sentence, okay? But this concept cannot understand from the word gnosko, okay, means he does not perceive the value of them. He doesn't perceive how valuable this information really is, the things regarding the Spirit of God. That's not valuable to him. He values other things. Look at unbelievers' life. They value a lot of things. Okay, maybe it's money, maybe it's women, maybe it's whatever. Okay, they value things. It's just that they don't value what? They don't value spiritual things. Okay, why not? Well, because frankly, their volition has been marred by sin, and they're just really not that interested. That's why if you do ever find anybody who is interested, you're talking to an unbeliever, and they're interested, Dr. Toussaint used to say, you better know at right that point that God the Holy Spirit is working with that person. He's convicting them. Okay? Now, if they're not even interested at all, what are you going to do? Just keep throwing your pearls before swine? Move on, okay? Don't just make it worse. You know, I was watching a documentary the other day about this guy who was a climber. He's climbed El Capitan and Yosemite without a rope. Only one to have ever done it. And this guy, after I researched him, is called a militant atheist. I was like, what's a militant atheist? I mean, I know about Christopher Hitchens and these types of folks. Is that what it's talking about? So I look up the term. It's somebody who's so sick and tired of people talking to them about God and all that stuff that they've become what they call a militant atheist. They're just leave us alone, okay? If someone is totally just rebuffs you, don't keep pushing, okay? That's just going to further push them into unbelief. But if somebody is responsive, see, and even that person could be responsive if something happens in their life, you know, somebody dies or some catastrophe, then things change, okay? But if somebody is open, see, and they're welcoming, they're like, want to know more, contrary to this verse, which is the normal state of affairs, that's the person you want to be working with.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Beyond the Walls with Jeremy Thomas. If you're interested in learning about the foundational doctrines and themes of the Bible that gave rise to this series, then season one of this podcast is for you on the basics. Additional material can be found on our website at beyondthewalls-ministry.com. If you found this information useful and helpful in your spiritual walk, then please consider rating this podcast in your favorite podcast player. And until next time, we hope you're living by the fruit of the Spirit.